Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
Well, today we are going to be talking to professionals who are past their first 90 days in their position. And for listeners, if you haven't listened, we actually just published a two-part podcast on what to do to make your first 90 days successful in the context of not just settling in, but owning your role and being able to start contributing quickly without stepping on toes and that type of thing. And there's really a lot of tips in there on truly excelling in that first few months. But today what we're going to do is say that you have successfully navigated your first 90 days. And ideally, you're already thinking, how do I position myself for progression or promotion? So the key is moving from the fact that you can do the job to showing that you're ready for more. And since your career should be looked at as a long game, not just a performance review cycle, we're going to dig into some specifics on how you can set yourself up for progression and promotion.
This is great. I want to just, before we start, say those who are like, who are listening and saying, I'm in the role that I want to be in forever, I should just tune out. I don't think so, because there's more stuff you can expand on even in your current role, right? So it's not just for folks who are trying to climb the ladder with their titles, but this can be expansion even in your current role. So stay tuned.
Yeah, that's a point. Progression or promotion, because they are two different things. And we work with a lot of CRAs who want to be a CRA because that's what they want. So they're not looking for management, but they can still progress as a CRA. New tools, new technology, new therapeutics, etc.
Well, and I agree, because once you're past your first 90 days, your mindset changes from how do I prove I can do this job to more how do I position myself for what's next? You always need to be ready for what's next. Promotion doesn't happen by accident. It happens when your performance, the visibility to your manager, and how you show you're ready all start to line up. So if you want to be promoted or if you want to continue to progress, the first thing you need is to clarify on what success actually looks like in your current role. A lot of the people assume they're doing well just because no one is correcting you and you're just working fine in the background. But it's not. Doing fine is not the same as being promotable. I mean, we want you to be doing well. You want to be doing well. You need to be asking for feedback. And you have to understand what your manager and your leadership value most. So that's typically ownership, being reliable, that you problem solve, that you're consistent, and that you make good impact to the company. So promotion readiness is not just about completing your tasks well. It's about showing that you can operate at the next level. So if the feedback that you're getting is vague, so if you're like, well, how am I doing? And they're like, you're fine, then ask better questions. So for example, right, so what would excellent look like in this role? And or what would make you feel confident that I'm ready for more responsibility? So ask really intentional questions.
What can I do to make your life easier? What can I do to make your life easier?
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got a list. How ready are you?
There's always a list, right?
There's always a list. So, but career progression works best when it's intentional. So make sure that you've got a development plan in place and that you're not just going on based on good intention. So that plan should also be shared with your manager. You want to include concrete actions like stretch assignments, which I had to look that up to see what that was. But those are tasks that push you a little beyond what your current role is, so you can continue to learn new skills and prove you can handle more. Cross-functional projects where you work with people from other departments. That also helps you build relationships. Mentoring new hires and skill building. And like we'll talk about here soon, visibility matters. If the decision makers don't see your growth, they may not think of you when opportunities do open up. So with that, you want to be sure that you schedule regular check-ins. They'll keep your progress front and center to your manager and give you the opportunity to adjust your course if needed. So if you decide, hey, I love doing this, and then you start doing it and you're like, never mind, I don't love doing this, have that regular check-in so you can get that taken off of your plate. So, and your internal brand also matters. So people promote people that they trust to handle more, not just the person who says they want more. If you tell me you want more, but you're failing in your current position, I'm not giving you more. So the people who progress are the ones that are building strong relationships, that are staying solution oriented, and that they make it easy for others to advocate for them. So, Angela, Becky, team, when you hear someone say, I want to be promoted, what do you wish they understood first?
Well, they need to understand what it is that they want to be promoted into. I used to get this. I got that a lot more, that question a lot more whenever I was in leadership in IBM than I get here because, the one-on-ones that I have with each of you, I ask the very specific questions. What do you like the most? What do you like the least? What would you like to do next? Is there anything you'd like to learn you haven't? So as a leader, as a leader, you should be positioning yourself to ask those questions of your team members so that you as a leader are clear in what they want their career path to be, and having an understanding as a leader that your team members' career trajectories are going to shift and change as they learn new things is important. But you guys that are listening, you cannot assume that your leaders are going to do that. You can't assume they're going to have one-on-ones with you, and you cannot assume that they're going to be the ones asking the questions. So you, as an individual that are see, you know, that if you're seeking progression or promotion, you've got to be asking yourself those questions. What do you like the most? What do you like the least? Doesn't mean you hate it, but what do you like the least? And then you got to dig into why you like it the least. Is it because you are feel like you maybe aren't good at it? You just think it's something that could be automated. You think it's beneath you. What is it? And start digging into it because that's an area that you can really speak to your leadership about. But definitely ask, what do you want to do next? Because that's where Carrie, you talked about skills gaps analysis and that type of thing. You can start really looking at. Okay, well, and I really want to do XYZ, but I can't do XYZ until I get a degree or I get the certification, or it doesn't have to be that big, And I know Jenny's going to talk about development plans, so I won't dig into that much, but I think just having that realistic discussion with yourself is an important starting point. And
That's
if
where
you
you have to
haven't,
start.
yeah, and if you've not done that and you come to me and say, I want promotion, I'm going to be like, great, what does that look like for you? And you're going to look at me like you're a deer caught in headlights.
So your career, you need to be responsible for how you want it to grow. Don't make your ha hiring manager de develop your career for you. You need to be part of that discussion.
And before we get too deep on this side of the employee or the worker, I want to make sure that we really fully understand the leadership's lens on this, because I think the rest of our talk is going to be more focused on you and your career progression. So I just want to make sure we're framing this where you're looking at it from all sides. And Carrie touched on this earlier. It's important to look at progression and promotion through the lens of your company's leadership. Having been an operations manager on our leadership team here at the firm, I can say we are constantly evaluating the needs of the business, metrics and goals, priorities, projections for the future. What's our team going to look like in 1 month, 6 months, next year when we meet this milestone and that milestone? So we're not just looking at whether or not you're reliable with completing tasks that are in your current role. That's the minimum. But what, quote, extra skills you bring to your work that could benefit a future project or position, we're really looking at that behind the scenes. We're seeing if you take ownership of your role instead of being spoon-fed. We're looking if you anticipate upcoming needs or process improvements, if you can run independently, but that means you can't drop the ball, right? We have to trust that you can do it without having to be supervised heavily, right? If you volunteer, if you take extra initiative, if you show an aptitude for problem solving, yada, yada. So you have to pay attention to what attributes your leadership team cares about instead of just punching a card and fulfilling your current job description as if that's enough for automatic advancement. I hear that a lot sometimes from people in other companies, well, I did this job, I did it well for X number of years, so I deserve to get promoted. Well, what else do you bring to the table? It's not just about that. So you've got to ask yourself, what are a few behaviors I consistently see in people who eventually get promoted? Are they eager to learn? Are they extra reliable? Do they show up early to meetings? I mean, it's the little things sometimes. Do they constantly exceed expectations? And remember, promotion decisions aren't just by one manager. They're often influenced by a broader leadership group. So make sure you're performing consistently with all of your colleagues. And also keep in mind, maybe the budget doesn't allow for an actual promotion at this time or something of that nature. You know, some companies, it's just not in the budget or not in the plan at this moment because leadership's got all of this marinating, you know, what's happening, what's in the pipeline. So maybe it's a not yet, but at some point soon. But if you can make your way to the top of their list so that when that opens up, that's where you want to be.
Well, the communication on that, I love that, Becky, because the communication on what you as a team member are seeing is really important. Maybe you see a need for a new tool or an automation or a new process or a new aspect of delivery or what have you. And that can, if you're communicating that with your leadership, that can shape the way the company grows and moves. So I think that's important. And one more thing that I think that you said that I really want to spend a couple of seconds on is you said that usually your promotions are more than just guided by one manager. I think people are promoted because of their peers. If I see that you are being looked up at and respected by your peers, then it's a hell of a lot easier for me to move you into a leadership role.
True.
Because you have already naturally assumed that role and you've done it without the natural title, the authority that I would have given you. You've done it because your team respects you and they know you care and you go the extra the mile and you're accountable for your actions and you're responsive and all of those things that make you really good at what you do. And when the team starts promoting you, then it's a lot easier for me just to give you the title, right?
That's a point.
Well, one thing that I think can be really helpful as you're planning, and we talked about a lot of this already, but if you actually make specifically an individual development plan or an IDP and actually sit down and write it down, that can be so helpful. And it makes you kind of first start out by thinking about what do I actually want? That's kind of the first step and think about, you know, what title or scope of your job and the timeline. So just kind of thinking through all those specifics about both short-term and long-term goals. And then once you kind of have that idea written down and in your mind, you can think about the gap between where you are and where you want to be. And that way you can assess your current skills, strengths, weaknesses, career interests, and be thinking through all of those. This might actually be a time, depending on your manager, to ask them to help you and get their feedback as well. And then after you've done that, kind of determining, you know, what training, resources, experience would be required to reach your goals, maybe writing down 3 to 5 concrete development actions. I know we already talked about stretch assignments, also maybe projects you could work on or systems or software you could learn, job shadowing, that type of thing. So you can kind of create your action plan and write down some of those specific things. And you're wanting to try and come up with some actionable steps with specific deadlines if you possibly can. And after you kind of got that in writing, it would be great to meet with your manager. And like we talked about earlier, like Becky was saying, make sure that your goals align with what helps the company, what helps your team. So you're all kind of on the same page. And you'll want to meet with your manager regularly, have kind of regular check-ins to see how you're doing and maybe adjust as needed and make sure you're still helping the team with your goals as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of people start out really strong with their IDPs and they're like, oh, this is what I want to do. And they build the IDP and then they never go back to it. I love it whenever someone is so in charge of where they're trying to go is that they own that IDP because it's theirs. You know, it's not your leader's. It's not your manager's development plan, it's your plan. And if you're building it to wow your leader, then you're doing it the wrong way. What do you want? To your point, Jenny, what do you want? You know, if you want to be a project manager, what about this role will help you get there? If you want to be a writer, what about this role is going to help you get there? You want to be a marketing personnel, what about this role is going to help you get there? And are there tasks within the role that you can become better at in order to achieve your ultimate goals? That's what goes in your IDP and helps you to be stronger, leveraging your current position to be able to get you and use it as a stepping stone to another one, if that's what makes sense at the time.
I agree with all that. I know I was going to talk a little bit about visibility and everybody kind of touched on that already, but I do want to bring something up that I have thought about too with staying visible. And even if, like, when you start meeting your manager for your one-on-ones or your regular check-ins and they just stop, ask for them. That's how you stay visible. You don't want to come across too pushy, but just ask for them. And then even when you think about, like, process improvement, or like you were in the middle of something and you thought of something that may help the team because it's helping you, bring that up. Mm-hmm. Little things like that is staying visible when you're in that stage of, okay, what else can I do? What else can I show that I'm capable of? I've already done the regular day-to-day tasks that they want me to do. What am I doing today that is helping me that can possibly help the team to become more efficient or a better process? Staying visible in that way is key, because then they'll always see you as someone that's always thinking forward with improvements and how to help the team with that as well. So I would definitely say staying visible is important.
I agree with you, Natalie, because you made a point. It's like, if your manager all of a sudden stops having meetings with you because they're like, oh, they're doing well, they don't need me, because that very well could happen in a lot of positions. Yeah. We've got an awesome manager in Angela. She makes sure she stays on top of those meetings with us, which we really appreciate because you've mentored us all. But there's a lot of managers that don't. So make sure that if that stops, that you're reaching out to your manager to request that to continue, even if it's every 2 months or preferably at least once a month.
I agree.
Sorry, Angela.
I was just going to say, I had a manager once that I asked that question. I'm like, I never hear from you. Is everything okay? And he said, it's a good thing that you're not hearing from me. If you're not hearing from me, then everything is perfect. And I thought, there's a part of me that felt okay with that. Then there was another part of me that thought, okay, well, does that mean that I'm going to get blindsided at some point because it's going to build up? Right. Yeah. So I agree. I agree with that concept. Try to maintain that open communication.
Or at least you stay at top of mind, because maybe no news is good news, but out of sight, out of mind. So maybe if they're thinking about who can we move into this, how can we expand this, if you just met with them yesterday, you're at the top of their mind. If you keep checking in and proving your worth, then maybe you're going to be at the top of the list. So be careful. No news can be good news, but out of sight can also be out of mind. We don't want that either.
Yep, exactly.
But don't check in too often. We did just have a CRA that checked in with every manager every other day and drove them insane.
Yeah, so and I don't do that either. Yeah, and I don't do needy. There's a difference between a team member that comes to me and says, "Wow, I got this idea," or "I'm doing this." Like Maya gave me some really great feedback on some tasks that are repetitive that maybe we want to look at some automation on, et cetera, et cetera. I love that, right? I love that. But there's a difference between providing that value spark and those discussions to where we can start having a brainstorming session about how to improve something. Like you said, Natalie, is what are you doing to improve your day to day and make yourself more efficient that we can carry on to the team, et cetera, et cetera. I love that. Any leader is going to love that. Mm-hmm. But I don't like needy. There's a difference.
Or pushy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, this was touched on a little bit, but I wanted to expand more on your internal brand and how your relationships and your rapport with your other coworkers and employees is also a really big determining factor in if you'd have your career progression. So yes, we want to see people that, you know, are getting their metrics and all of that stuff. But if you're not, you know, helping to build relationships and build your team up, you're going to struggle a bit. I can give you an example. At my last job, we started out with, we had my boss, we had one leader, and then there were three of us at the same level, like, you know, front desk people. But our one leader she didn't have any likability, and she also was not trusted. She did a lot of her own work wrong. We had to go in and fix it. However, she still had this leadership role. When my boss had decided to bring one of us on into a leadership role, it changed drastically, because with the previous leader, she was still a leader at this time with this new person, but we didn't really care what she told us to do. And that sounds bad. It's like, we're not trying to sabotage our work or our business, but it's like, you have this person that, you know, they don't ask, oh, how you're doing, or, you know, they just want to, like, give you tasks, do this. And then when you do a task, they come at you and they're like, oh, this is actually wrong, blah, 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 but you know you're right. So it's kind of, you're losing that trust, and you also don't really like them because they're just kind of, you know, making your life a little bit harder at work. Yeah. So when we had a new leader come on, she already had that likability because she was in the same level as us. We really liked her. We enjoyed her. She was one of us. But she also had that level of trust that we knew she could do her job very well. We knew we could go to her with any questions we had. It got to the point where when the one leader that wasn't, you know, super good, she'd tell us to do, we would end up going to the other leader and confirming with her, be like, hey, we just want to make sure that this is right, because I don't know if she's right, but, you know, she wants us to do it. So being able to manage the difference between likability and being trusted is important, because also you want to make sure that you're not too likable, because there was a couple moments where I'm like, when she started giving us manage your task, I'm like, oh, we're not, you know, like this anymore. I'm like, oh, you're actually my manager now. So it's like, you need to make sure you manage both of those. And I saw this one thing that said, anyone can manage success gracefully, but leaders distinguish themselves in setbacks. And just in general, just making sure that you're staying constructive and accountable makes you the person that others want to be beside when things get really tough.
And the trust, I think I would like to translate that into respect.
Respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think respect, a lot of people, especially individuals that are fresh into leadership roles, they feel like they can demand respect, and that is a very flawed approach. You have to earn it, and the example that you just gave is a prime one. Is the individual that you guys gave your trust to, or your respect, did her job really well, and she acted like she cared about you, so you had a personal relationship with her. But leadership is hard, because you're not running for homecoming queen. You do have to be able to balance the two. And that was the reason why I said, you know, if I watch and see, you know, who on my team members being looked up to by the other team members first, because that's a natural skill. You can hone that skill. But now we're back to Jenny's discussion about IDP. If you want to be in a leadership role, you need to start looking at those characteristics that will enable you to be an effective leader. Are you trustable?
That's hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
As a leader, it's hard, because if you're too nice, you're going to end up doing that person's job for them. And then if you're too mean, they all hate you and nobody wants to work with you. So being a manager is complicated. So you have to work as both, because it sounds like what you ended up with is working in a toxic work environment. Mm-hmm. You really need to, the managers always need to look at themselves as managers and see what's going on, if there's any type of breakdown in communication, and then work on how to fix that. But you as the worker, just talk to your manager. Don't try to make it worse. Don't get on bandwagons. Don't be backstabby. I mean, it's terrible, especially in a group of women. It can get bad.
Oh my gosh, this conversation is amazing, because I love to sit there and think like, oh, I did that. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I messed up that role. That's why I didn't get promoted. And it's like this huge self-reflection a little bit. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm having a therapy moment in this while we're chatting. But I remember thinking about this one, listening to you all, and I was thinking about this one role, and I got myself into this paradox of, you know, getting so good at one thing in my role that my leadership didn't see me doing anything else. And it's this paradox of being too good, you can't go anywhere else. And it was super frustrating for me. And I can sit there and say, oh, well, you know, my leadership didn't give me anything else. Well, I'm in charge of these things. I'm in charge of my career, and I'm the CEO of this, of my career path. So this is my responsibility. I got myself into this corner, but this reputation I had that I was only good at this, like, one thing, or I was so good at this one thing and so invaluable at it, you couldn't go anywhere else. And this reputation followed me, went into meetings where they would talk about who they were going to promote and what roles. And it was like, oh, we can't move her. She is perfect where she is. But is that what I wanted? You know, this idea of that your reputation for a promotion based on everything you guys have all talked about, it enters into rooms that you are not even in when they're sitting there talking about meetings and promotions and leadership and who do we want to like see at the next level, who would be a good fit. You have to make sure this reputation is where you want it to be and reflective. And if I just wanted to stay in this one role doing this one task, then I was perfect. I didn't. So I had let something slip then. And it really just brought home this whole idea that progression is kind of, in any career, is balanced on these four things of clarity, performance, visibility, and relationships. And it's like this four-legged stool, and you need to make sure the legs are all kind of working together. And if it's kind of the idea, if you're working hard and you're the hardest worker in the room, but nobody knows it, mm-hmm. you're just tired. You're just showing up to work tired. Like, that's all that's going on. So you have to make sure nothing's wobbling. And the thing I find that people, Natalie touched on this, everyone did, but the thing that people like to like shy away from or not give enough attention to is visibility. I often find that people who are high performers are really good. They feel like self-promotion is beneath them because it's like, my work will speak for itself. I'm like, it really won't. That paper doesn't have lips. It doesn't talk. You need to talk. You need to say, hey, I really enjoyed the challenge of being on here, and I'm super proud of the results that we got and that we were, you know. You got to go talk about it. You got to make those, you got to invest in that visibility. And everyone wants to invest in performance. And I was like, you got to make sure people know about it. And it's like we were all saying, but also I mentioned earlier, if you're the CEO of your career, man, that means you're in charge of strategy and marketing and quarterly results, you know, not just the vibes, not just how you show up and like, you know, make everyone laugh. You are in charge of everything. And the great thing is you run that narrative, so no one else can take it from you. So you get to have all of the control. And as a self-described control freak, I really like that. I really enjoy being in control of these things. So, you know, I think to like kind of end it all, if the first 90 days that your career gets you in the door, everything after that is deciding about what you're going to build once you're inside. So now, what do you want to build?
I have a question for you, Maya. As a CEO of your career, how many times have you fired yourself?
Oh, gosh, so many times. So many. I'm like, what are you doing? Bad choice.
I fire myself at least once a week.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, lady, you got to go have a nap. Go have some coffee. You shouldn't be running anything today.
But I love that self-assessment, Maya. That is like gold. That is what we should all be doing. Great wrap up, Maya. Thank you so much. Thank you, team. I'm so sorry we're out of time. But thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit craresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at craresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.